Hi everyone, and welcome back to English for You. I'm Erin.
I'm Tiffany.
And we are talking about the game Monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's kind of go over what we talked about in day one of our article. When you play Monopoly, you try to get as much land as possible so you can tax people who land on it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Money, 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 money.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Because your goal of that game is to make other players lose all their money while you get rich.
Yes.
I love it. That's why I feel really good when I play with my brother, because I'm like,
I'm rich.
And in the game, I'm very rich and stuff.
Right. Okay, so the inventor of Monopoly, Elizabeth McGee, she had a really different goal for the game. Okay, so she patented the landlord's game in 1904, and she had two sets of rules for it. So the original Monopoly was actually called the landlord's game.
Mm-hmm.
And what were these rules?
Well, for her, for the landlord's game, one of them was called the prosperity rules.
Mm-hmm.
That means that the rent on undeveloped land, so lands that people didn't claim yet or didn't take yet, went to something called the public treasury. And this means everyone could use it for things like free railroads and free school.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the original rules of the game.
Right. Okay, so everybody, or the players, when they play...
When the players
doubled their money in the game, sorry about that, they won the game.
Mm-hmm,
okay,
exactly.
But the monopolist rules, these were the second set of rules, they're similar to the ones we use today.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the one where you tax people when they land on your land.
Right.
Okay, so Parker Brothers, the game company, they bought McGee's patent for the game, and they decided they didn't want the prosperity rules.
Yeah.
They got rid of those, and they only kept the monopolist rules.
Yeah, maybe it was a little bit too difficult, but it's no matter what, it was really fun. A really great choice from the Parker Brothers.
Right.
All right, so we're going to learn a little bit more about Monopoly as well.
Mm-hmm.
So hang on tight, and we'll be right back.
Reading. The Lost Message of Monopoly. During Elizabeth McGee's time, there was a huge gap between the rich and the poor in the U.S. Most people worked long hours for little pay, while the few men controlling the nation's wealth built fortunes. McGee, who felt frustrated by this inequality, hoped to educate people about a system that could improve their lives. She was influenced by the 1879 book Progress and Poverty, which urged the government to create a new land tax. She created her game to demonstrate its ideas. By providing two sets of rules, McGee aimed to show the usual outcomes of two different economic systems. With the prosperity rules, all players benefited when wealth was created. That's because land taxes went to the public treasury and were used for public benefits. In the monopolist version of the game, however, players got ahead by crushing their opponents. This created a great divide in wealth, as similar economic systems do in life. While the game was entertaining, it also raised questions about how to better society. Perhaps it'll make you think more deeply the next time you play Monopoly.
All right, so it says during Elizabeth McGee's time, there was a huge gap between the rich and the poor in the U.S.
I think there still is today.
There is today, for sure. But this is around the 1900s, and this was when, in history, when we had the Industrial Revolution happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a really difficult word, but it just means at the time, people were building machines and making a lot of things. So people got rich really fast.
Right.
And people who didn't have a lot of money couldn't keep up.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a huge gap in between the rich and the poor. Now, gap here means the space between maybe two people or two things.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the child had a gap between her two front teeth.
Okay, that so a little hole, like a little space.
Yeah. Exactly. Or we can say there's an age gap between the grandfather and his granddaughter, mm-hmm. but they get along very well. So even though they're away, their ages are kind of far away, but they still are very close and they get along with each other very well.
Okay. Okay, we have another grammar point to look at in that sentence. We used the word the in front of rich and poor. Now, when you add the to an adjective, you can use the combined words as a noun to describe a certain group of people. So when you say the rich, you're talking about all rich people. But when you're saying the poor, you're talking about all poor people. Here's an example. This rich woman decided to build a school for the blind with her money. So she's talking about people who are blind here.
Mm.
Okay, so we've got the rich up here, and we've got the poor down here.
So there's a huge space in between, yeah?
There's a few people in there,
yeah.
But a lot of people up here, a lot of people down here.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So the article then says, most people worked long hours for little pay, while the few men controlling the nation's wealth built fortunes. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it was really hard at that time because, again, in history, okay, things were growing so fast that people couldn't keep up. Now, the rich were gaining a lot of wealth. They mm-hmm. were gaining a lot of fortune. Now, wealth here is our vocabulary word, and it means a large amount of money and the things you own.
Oh, so, like land and boats and buildings and
your
houses,
fancy cars,
jewelry and cars.
Everything.
And all those things, yeah.
So the wealth just means all the money you own and all the things that you own along with it.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Dad earned his wealth by working really hard and not giving up.
Well, good for you, Dad.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard, but you can do it too. Okay, so for the poor, this was really not a great way to live, right? Working really, really, really hard for only a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the people at the top, they just get richer and richer and richer. So here comes McGee,
mm-hmm.
okay? So it says in the article, McGee, who felt frustrated by this inequality, hoped to educate people about a system that could improve their lives. So she's got a really good idea
mm-hmm.
here. She wants to educate people because
right?
she's frustrated about this gap between the rich and the poor. Now, frustrated is an adjective, and when you feel frustrated, you feel annoyed, upset, or angry because you cannot control or change a situation, or because something is stopping you from achieving your goal.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an example. Kelsey gets frustrated when her friends don't call to say that they're going to be late.
Oh, that kind of frustrates me as well.
Mm.
You should tell someone at least.
Right. Send them a message.
Yeah.
I'll be there in 10 minutes.
It's polite.
Yes.
All right. So she was frustrated at the system, like at the economy, we can say,
mm-hmm.
at that time. Now, a system is a way of maybe managing something, controlling something, or doing something that follows a set of plan or rules.
Right.
So, for example, if at a restaurant, okay,
mm-hmm.
we have a really simple system. They create a system where one person takes your order,
mm-hmm.
then they give you your food.
Mm-hmm.
So one person takes your order, mm-hmm. the chef cooks it, and then the waiter serves you the food. So it's a really simple system. It's a really simple set of rules
mm.
or a set of ways that people manage the restaurant.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the system for you is easy.
Mm-hmm.
You tell the server what you want to eat, and then you eat it.
That's right.
And then you pay.
Exactly.
Yeah,
don't forget to pay.
That's part of the system, too.
So,
okay.
For example, we can mm-hmm. say the new system gives students more time to have after-school activities.
Sweet.
Yes.
Less classes.
Yes, less homework.
Yeah, more after-school activities. Okay, so McGee wanted to teach people about the ideas she read in a book.
Okay.
Okay, so she got this idea. She said, I want people to know more about this. This isn't fair. Let's teach them. So let's find out about this book. It says, she was influenced by the 1879 book Progress and Poverty, which urged the government to create a new land tax. Okay, so the book that McGee learned from was called Progress and Poverty. Now, poverty is the situation or experience of being very poor, without a lot of money or the things you need to live a good life. It's actually kind of the opposite of prosperity. That's when you have a lot of good things. But poverty means you don't have these things. Here's an example. the government in this country helps people living in poverty find cheap places to live. Mm. Okay, so this book, Progress, that's like moving forward, and poverty, it did a certain thing that McGee really wanted to teach people about.
Right, it really inspired her to help other people or to really make a change in the world. Because if you do learn a little bit more about this period of time, it really was an interesting, I think, era. All right, so she was urging the government, she was urging people to push for this new land tax. And when you urge someone to do something, it means you really ask for them or push them to do something. So, for example, maybe your mom urges you to read more. She really wants you to do a lot more reading than to use your phone the whole day.
Usually when you urge someone to do something, the thing you want them to do is really important for some reason. It's not just like, oh, you know, play with this toy. It's more just like, no, you've got to finish your homework. It's due tomorrow. That sort of thing. It's really important. Okay, so the book urges the government to sort of create this new land tax for rich people, okay? Now, McGee, she took this idea from the book and she made it really easy to understand. Now, she did that in a certain way. Here in the article, it says she created her game to demonstrate its ideas.
Oh, okay.
So that would be where these prosperity rules would come in. That's the land tax. Okay, so demonstrate here is a verb and it means to show or describe how something works. So the prosperity rules showed how the new land tax would be good for everyone, not just the rich people. Okay, here's another example of demonstrate. The dance teacher demonstrated the dance steps before the students tried them. So the teacher did them first, the students did them next.
Actually, I like the way McGee tried to teach people how to play, how to understand this land tax.
Right.
I'm pretty sure when you read this book all about, you know, numbers and finances, it must be very hard for people to understand.
Right, and we have to remember, back then, a lot of people, especially in the poor people, they didn't have access to education like we do today.
Exactly.
And so you just pick up this boring book about taxes and, who wants to read that? But teaching it in a game was actually a really good idea. You're right.
I liked it.
Yeah, it made people interested. It was fun. And people understood what was happening.
It was quite easy to understand as well.
Yeah.
All right, so let's continue reading. It says, by providing two sets of rules, McGee aimed to show the usual outcomes of two different economic systems.
Okay.
Okay, so the reason, again, like why she created this game was to show people how this land tax worked and how the government works with money.
Right.
So she aimed to do something. She aimed to show the usual she aimed to show the outcomes of economic systems. Now, when you aim to do something, this phrase means you kind of set goals and you achieve them.
Right.
You really want to do them and you really want to get to your goal. For example, Jessica aims to raise $100,000 to clean up the trash in the ocean.
That's a lot of money. I hope she gets her goal.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, what about when you aim for something?
Okay, when you aim for something, it also means you set a goal. So you can also say Jessica aims for things to be perfect. So her goal is to make sure that whatever she does, whether in her homework or cleaning or just something simple, she wants everything to be perfect.
That's pretty tough. That's a
tough
goal.
I can't live that way.
Yeah, me neither. Okay, well, McGee's aim was to show people the outcomes of these two systems, okay? Now, an outcome is a noun. It's the final result of something, such as a competition or a contest or a meeting, a discussion, and even an election, okay? And so on and so on. So we often use this word outcome when no one is able to know what the result will be until it actually happens. Okay, so maybe you have two people in an election, you don't know who's going to win, so you would say, what will the outcome of the election be? Who will win the election?
All right, so we are learning a lot of more difficult concepts now, difficult ideas. So she wanted to kind of show people what two different economic systems are like.
Right.
Now, when we talk about the economy or economics, okay, this economic here is actually an adjective. It means it's related to money and about the economy. And the economy is the study of money and how it moves around when people buy things, sell things, or make things.
Right. Mm-hmm. So every time you go buy something, you are helping your country's economy because
right.
you're putting money into the country's economy. That's how it works. And mm-hmm. then when you work and you get money for that work, the economy is giving back to you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different economic systems,
right.
okay, which are basically different systems or set of rules on what is the best way to make money move around in a country. So
mm-hmm.
people have different beliefs on what's the best way to make more money here. So maybe is it Plan A,
mm-hmm.
Plan B, or Plan C.
Right.
Now, these rules are really complicated, so...
They are. We won't get too much into
explain
them.
It.
You do know about them. So, some of them are, like, capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
That's where some people benefit when people buy and sell things. Some are communism.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the government controls what everybody uses, that sort of thing. So,
mm-hmm.
these are all different economic systems. Okay, so let's find out what the outcome is of the prosperity rules. It says, with the prosperity rules, all players benefited when wealth was created.
Yes.
So everybody gets money when there is money to be had. So you benefit from this money. If you benefit from something or if something benefits you, you get an advantage or you improve or get better in some way.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want. You want to get better.
Cool. It's so fair too.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's actually really, really fair than
yeah.
maybe some of the economic systems we have right now.
Yeah.
All right, so let's continue reading. It says, that's because land taxes went to the public treasury and were used for public benefits. So remember,
mm-hmm.
we learned about the prosperity rule a while ago in day one. So all the money went to the public treasury, and this is kind of like a fund where people can use it to build
yeah.
things for everybody.
It's shared.
Mm-hmm.
It's shared money. Okay, so what about the outcome of the monopolist version? It says, in the monopolist version of the game, however, players got ahead by crushing their opponents. Here, we're talking about players who get ahead. This phrase, get ahead, means to be successful and do better than other people in your job or at school or in another place you're competing with other people. Here's an example. Jordan really wants to get ahead at work, so he's staying late to work on extra projects.
Mm. Oh,
when you get ahead, you crush your opponents.
I like that. So that's the monopolist version of the game. When you crush somebody or when you crush an opponent, it just means you defeat that person.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, we can say the army crushed their enemies with one sudden attack.
Yeah, it usually means you beat someone quick
mm-hmm.
and fast. Okay, now you want to crush your opponent. An opponent is a noun. It's someone you try to beat when you play or fight against them. It's similar to competitor.
Mm-hmm.
It's someone that you're going against.
Yes, so
mm-hmm.
next it says, this created a great divide in wealth as similar economic systems do in life. So yeah, actually now that I think about it,
mm-hmm.
she really did teach us something here.
Right.
Because I do see that the Monopoly version or the monopolist version that we play right now is kind of similar to most of, our governments are like
it's,
now.
It's very similar
it's very
to
similar.
Capitalism, which
mm-hmm.
is the economic system that a lot of countries use, including Taiwan.
Right.
Okay, so it created this great divide or this big gap, and it made some people really rich and some people really poor. But what does that mean for the game? Here it says, while the game was entertaining, it also raised questions about how to better society. Now, entertaining is an adjective, and it's something that's amusing or interesting or fun to do or play. For example, this cartoon is entertaining for both children and adults. It makes everybody laugh.
Yes. All right, so next, the article finishes off with
mm-hmm.
saying, perhaps it'll make you think more deeply the next time you play Monopoly. I think this definitely will change my mind a lot because I had no idea that this game was meant to teach us about economics. I thought it was just teaching us how to become really rich.
Yeah, me too, actually. It does seem like that. But now that I know that there's a different way to play the game, I think you might, I think it's quite rare, but there are still copies of that landlord's game out there. There's pictures of it on the internet you can go and look at too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so think about this game next time you play it. And I think that's actually what McGee wanted you to do. Mm-hmm. She wanted you to learn from it.
That's right.
Okay, so that's the end of our article today. We're almost finished. We've got to go to our For You chat right now.
For You chat.
Okay, welcome back to For You Chat. We've got an interesting question for you today. What should our taxes pay for and why?
Oh my gosh, this is a really deep question as well. But I would say, of course, you know, taxes should be able to pay for our public transportation, our buildings and stuff like that. That's great. I also think they should pay for free school, free colleges for people.
Okay.
Because I think, you know, all children should have the chance to go to college and to go to school. So I think colleges should also be free as well.
Now, there's an interesting way to think about that, Tiffany. It sounds great. But that means that we pay really high taxes.
That's right.
Okay, so in places like Canada, the taxes also pay for your medicine. Anytime you need to go to the hospital, you don't need to pay for that because pay taxes, and that's what your taxes pay for. But the downside is that your taxes can be quite high.
Mm-hmm.
So now I prefer to pay high taxes and not have to pay for medicine. That's what I prefer. And that's what I do in Taiwan too. My taxes here pay for medicine. I think building of the roads, we should always have safe roads. I think depends how high you want your taxes to be, but like maybe some school, some parts of school paid for, maybe not all of it, sort of thing, but it would be easier to do that. But yeah, good ideas.
Yeah, so you guys can talk about this as well. If you had to pay taxes, what would you want your taxes for?
Right.
What would you pay them for? And why is that? So you can think about it. Talk about it with your friends, your classmates, and discuss with your teachers as well.
They have ideas too.
They'll have lots of ideas for you.
Okay. Well, that's the end of our article for today. We have to say goodbye for English for You. I'm Erin.
I'm Tiffany.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Lost Message of Monopoly. During Elizabeth McGee's time, there was a huge gap between the rich and the poor in the U.S. Most people worked long hours for little pay, while the few men controlling the nation's wealth built fortunes. McGee, who felt frustrated by this inequality, hoped to educate people about a system that could improve their lives. She was influenced by the 1879 book Progress and Poverty, which urged the government to create a new land tax. She created her game to demonstrate its ideas. By providing two sets of rules, McGee aimed to show the usual outcomes of two different economic systems. With the prosperity rules, all players benefited when wealth was created. That's because land taxes went to the public treasury and were used for public benefits. In the monopolist version of the game, however, players got ahead by crushing their opponents. This created a great divide in wealth, as similar economic systems do in life. While the game was entertaining, it also raised questions about how to better society. Perhaps it'll make you think more deeply the next time you play Monopoly. Vocabulary Review. Gap. The gap between the boss's expectations and the workers' abilities is huge. Wealth. The rich man earned most of his wealth through his successful technology company. Frustrated. Helen's little sister always borrows her things without asking, which makes Helen very frustrated. System.
The students worked in groups to discuss the positive and negative points of their country's political system. Poverty. This man lives in poverty. He doesn't have a home and often can't afford food. Entertaining. Matthew found the movie very entertaining and told his friends how much he enjoyed it.